And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Being heard around the world, of course, on shortwave radio. We're on WINB as well as WWCR. And we're on the American Voice Network each week. And, of course, through streaming audio, our website, powerofprophecy.com. And I greatly encourage you, if you've got a computer and you can listen in, to go to powerofprophecy.com. Either, well, actually, 24/7, 7 days a week, you can listen to it there. And each week we post the new program. And it has crystal clarity, very easy. And I know shortwave sometimes gives you a little static and such, especially with the solar flares we've been having around the world. And those sometimes disrupt shortwave radio communications. Always, though, if you listen by shortwave and the message doesn't come through clear, you can order the audio tape or CD, you need to specify which one that you need, of this program. Every program, we give it a title or a theme. So you can call up and say, you know, let me have that program. We ask $8, $5 for shipping and handling. That'd be a total of $13 for the program. And as you know, I wouldn't say we make a profit. We haven't made a profit in some years in the ministry. But for each and every product, all of the money goes into our general fund, and we're able to continue this radio broadcast around the world, heard in practically every nation on earth. And then, of course, we're able to do all of our other things. We have our orphans home, children's home work that we continue to do with the Texas Children's Home. And we also have, well, I don't even know all the things we've got going on, but we send a lot of Bibles, free Christian books, to prisoners. And a lot of people say, well, who cares about prisoners in prisons? Well, I do. You know, first of all, friends, you know, if not for the grace of God, we might be in some of those prisons. Second of all, even those who are guilty of crimes, and they have to pay the consequences, and you might suspect that and you'll be correct, that Tex Mars is a little bit tough on crime. I think people ought to do a little bit of prison time if they deserve it. And if I were a judge, well, they probably wouldn't. They'd call me the mean, hard judge, because I'd sure give them some stiff sentences, these drug dealers that are ruining the lives of our children. Every type of criminal, the rapists, the molesters, they would be doing a long, long stretch in prison. And I'm not a big believer in parole and probation either. So they'd probably be doing all of their time there in the Crossbar Hotel, as we used to call it. But in any case, God can reach whosoever he will. I can't say, God, this guy doesn't deserve to be saved. He robbed a bank. He raped somebody. He did a terrible thing. Just go ahead and send him to hell. Let him go into hell. He's in prison now, and afterwards, just take that rascal and send him on to hell. Now, sometimes I'd like to do that, but I know that's just my flesh speaking, because I get angry, and I want vengeance for what these people have done. And I think that's a human trait. But that's the problem. It is the human flesh, and God thinks differently than we do. And he saves and rescues and has mercy on whosoever he will. And that's one of the lessons I've learned over the years, the sovereignty of God. And, you know, the Bible is so full of stories. And even the Apostle Paul said, you know, we're all like vessels. We're like clay pots. God, you know, puts us on the potter's wheel and makes us, shapes us the way he wants. And we can't turn around, Paul said, and say to the maker who's creating us, the pot doesn't turn around and say to the artist, why are you making me this way? Or why did you make me this way? I'm sorry. I suppose that's why you know, God for his own enjoyment. There's some of us who are fat and some skinny and some black and some white and I don't know. It's for his own enjoyment. You know, the other night we were flipping channels, Wanda and I, and they had the International Dog Show on. And Wanda said, let's watch that for a little while. We watched it about 20 minutes. It's sort of interesting. All the different kind of dogs. Very strange looking animals, some of them were. And I told Wanda, I wouldn't want that in my house. It doesn't even look like a dog. It looks like something from one of them. I said, it looks like something from outer space. She just laughed. But the point is, God had some purpose for creating all those dogs. Just the dog alone that looks different from each other. It may have been for only his entertainment. I don't know. It does get a little dreary to see something the same thing all the time. And, you know, some of you probably out there are just people watchers. You go to the shopping mall or something. You sit down at the city park on the bench, just watch people walk by. That can be entertaining in itself. Everyone is a little bit different, aren't they? You know, the short, squatty woman, the little kid, the behaved kid, the misbehaving kid. They can all be entertaining to a certain extent. And maybe that's what God thinks about us. He gets his entertainment from watching us. I'm not going to say that he does, but we'll find out when we get to heaven, won't we, friends? In any case, Jerry, where was I going on that? I got off on a tangent. Prisoners. That's right. Prisoners. We send prisoners when they ask us for Christian books and especially Bibles. We always honor a Bible request. We have a lot of Christian prison chaplains, and they send us letters asking us to send them Bibles. And we send them cases of Bibles, entire cases of Bibles, always the King James Version, and they pass out to the prisoners. You know, folks, imagine a prison chaplain working there in the prison every day asking for Bibles so he can distribute them to the prisoners. I mean, you can't just let that request go. As God's ministry, we're going to have to answer, and we're going to have to send him the Bibles he needs. What we do is we get a discount on our Bibles, these real, you can call them cheap Bibles. There is no cheap Bible exactly, but I mean, you know, the covers and everything. They're not fancy. They're just regular book-like, you know, paperback covers. So they're not all leather bound and all that kind of stuff. But hey, the words are all there. And we get a lot of letters back from prisoners thanking us for sending them a Bible. And I remember one prisoner, you know, wrote to me just recently and he said, I'd always have to wait till I could, you know, get the time when they would allow me so much time off from my cell and everything. And I'd go down to the library and read the Bible. That was the only place where there was a Bible. Now I got my own. I can read it right in my cell. And he was just like, he had a toy. I mean, he was just so thrilled. Now, can you imagine? A lot of people get saved there. Folks, you may or may not like it, but I tell you what, I'd much rather a prisoner come to know Jesus in a prison cell than if he were to come to know the devil. Enough of them are learning to do evil. And by associating with other evil men and women, they're learning to do even more evil when they get out. That's why there's so much repeat offending going on. So if we can send Bibles to these prisoners, we're doing all of America a favor. They're much less likely as a Christian believer converted to Christ Jesus in a prison cell. They're much less likely to repeat those offenses again. We're changing lives then, you see, and that's what we do. And I want to thank you for whether you order a tape from us, a video, a book, or simply give us a love gift. It's a very profound thing to understand how this ministry works and for you to know we're in the business of truth and there's no greater truth than God's word. And that's why I enjoy sending it out. We also have some ministers from overseas, the Philippines, Indonesia, down in South America, and they ask us for Bibles. And as we can, we send Bibles to them as well and support them when we can. So all these things come from your help. You make it possible. And by the way, we screen these things so we know they're not from con people, okay, wanting to just sell Bibles over there or something. We try to verify them when we can, which is very difficult in countries like Nigeria, Mali, the Congo, and so forth. But we do the best we can. So, you know, when you're an individual, you don't have the resources that we do. And so we're able to do that for you and be your representative. I've always felt, Jerry's my broadcast man over here, does all the technical stuff. I've always felt that I have really three bosses. You say, well, who could that be? Well, the first boss is God, who tells me what to do as head of Power Prophecy. The second boss are the listeners, the people out there listening to us, our friends out in the real world, you know, in the United States, but also other places. So folks, you're listening to me now on this broadcast. You're my boss. I work for you, believe it or not. I listen to your advice. I listen to your counsel. I try to serve God and I represent you. And I take on evil. When I do, you know, in our books and our videos, we've taken on evil forces and they're angry at us. I do it as your representative on behalf of you. I'm your ambassador. You have an ambassador. Now, I don't have by no means total power, but I have a little bit more influence than the average person does because of my newsletters, because of my reputation, because of our websites that are read by so many hundreds of thousands of people annually, because of my printed newsletter, and people, of course, listen to this radio broadcast around the world. So we do have some influence, and it's amazing the changes we can get made. But I do it for you. Now, the third one I work for is myself. And you say, well, that's easy to work for yourself. No, it's really not. Because I have certain high standards of integrity and conduct. And as I've told you before, I know God is a forgiving God, but I'm not so forgiving for myself. Sometimes they say you should forgive yourself, but I don't do that very lightly. So when I err, when I make a mistake, or if I'm not doing everything that I possibly can every day in this ministry, that means 7 days a week, because I don't just work 5 days a week. You ask Wanda, she'll tell you. 7 days and nights, usually. But I feel very keenly and strongly about that, that I'm here to give my all to Jesus Christ and to the cause of truth. That's my mission. And I feel that I need to go the whole extra mile every time. You know, a lot of people say, Tex, you wrote a book here that's 600 pages. Why didn't you write two books and make twice as much money for your ministry? Well, I don't know if I can do that or not, but that was never my concern. My concern was to get everything God wanted me to said in that one book. You know, it may have been a better marketing tool to do it a certain way. So certainly a lot of people write to me and say, Tex, you could write best-selling books on a lot of different topics. Instead, you write these books that you know you're going to get all this opposition to, and many bookstores will even ban your books. That's not very smart of you. Well, folks, that's right. If I'm a big-time publisher, that's dumb of me. But if I work for you and I work for God, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good thing. What would you like me to say? Pray about it. Write to me. Tell me. I'll pray to God about it. We'll see. We'll all work together. You, me, and the Lord. We'll work together. And to me, if God says, write this particular book, and I look at it and I go, whoa, this thing is going to get me in trouble. It's going to get everybody on my back. Even my loyal fans will be angry at me. I do it anyway. Jerry, I'm so surprised that people usually don't get mad at me. My loyal fans, don't they understand? And sometimes they say, wow, I don't know about this book. But then they go to the Bible, they research it, they look at it, and they come back and say, yeah, Tex, I can see why. Good job. I like that. My boss is out there in radio land who read the newsletter. They write to me and they say, good job. I like that. Now, if they say bad job, I don't like that. But I try to ask myself, why are they saying that? What are they telling me? I've told the story before that, you know, Pastor W.A. Criswell, former head of the Southern Baptist Convention and one of the best known pastors in the world, he's gone on now to be with the Lord. Hope he has. He was head of First Baptist Church. He gave his secretary orders. He said, you screen all the mail. all the ones that criticize me and say negative things, bad things about me, I don't want to see them. Just throw them in the trash can. I only want to see the good letters. What? That's not me. You know that, Jerry. You guys give me every letter that comes in here and I read it. And I get a lot of ideas from the letters that criticize me the most. Even the people who hate me, I like to learn from them. I like to see why do they hate me. Not many hate me, thank God. But the few that do, it's because usually I'm exposing evil. It's a sacred cow that they believe in that is devilish, and I'm going to expose it, and that gets them mad. I got a few Mormons, you know, this last week that wrote to me. They're angry about, they believe in the Mormon church, it's a true religion and all that stuff. Well, I'm sorry. I've already studied that. The boat has left the docks. Okay, folks, we're going to talk about some secrets today. Jerry, this is volume what? 188. 188 times we've done this, but today we're going to have so much fun. There's so much to cover here. Oh my, I can give you a little overview of it, but let me just go very, very fast. And hey, have you heard about world over people are hearing strange sounds? I'm not talking about just individuals. I'm talking about entire cities, entire areas. You know, they're walking outside or they're sitting in their homes or they're driving and suddenly this strange sound comes out. And sometimes it's absolutely frightening people out of their wits. It's weird, scary, strange sounds. And sometimes it's like a boom and it keeps booming. Other times it's just, I don't know. I can't even make my mouth do the kind of sounds it is. Sometimes it's ear splitting. Other times it's like just, you know, it's almost like water torture. And nobody knows what it is. And it's been happening in countries around the world. The most recent example was up in Wisconsin. Now, the National Weather Service and atmospheric people, they said that they think it might have been a earthquake in the splitting up, you know, of the tectonic plates under the earth. And that emitted this horrible piercing sound that covered, I don't know, maybe 100 square miles up in Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin. But a lot of people are worried that these things show that the earth is about to break up. Maybe the sun, the gravitational pull, something is happening. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, there's some fascinating accounts of what happens in the last days. Read Revelation 6, the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Each one brings great calamities to earth. But I got a letter from Dr. O.J. Graham, my good friend. Dr. Graham, by the way, is the author of the book that we sold through the ministry, many copies, because it was a needed book, called The Six-Pointed Star. And she exposed that the six-pointed star. Dr. Graham, by the way, is Jewish, but a Christian. And Dr. Graham exposed the six-pointed star and revealed what it really is. It's the star of the ancient pagan gods and of Satan. That six-pointed star, the Jews mistakenly call the Star of David. Well, it's not the Star of David. But she sent me a letter, and she said, "Dear Tex," and by the way, she phoned and told me she was going to send this. She said, "Here is the boom from the sea and mobilization, a prophetic word by a man from Germany named John Matutis." Interesting. Now, this man in Germany who's a Christian said that he had this vision from God. And in his vision, there was a great booming sound. Now, this was first published in Germany, this prophecy by this German man, John Matutis, in 2008. Let me just read you from part of this from John Matutis himself. He said, "This vision came to me in December of 2008. While I was praying this morning, God gave me this vision. He showed me a great worldwide mobilization. I saw myself strolling along a beach. Suddenly there sounded a loud boom, which became stronger and more massive. It was not the noise of the sea or of the wind. It was completely still outside. The seawater was as smooth as glass. The deep booming sound, which was like the sound of the mountains about to cave in, a banging sound, which I had up till now never heard in my whole life, came from the other side of the ocean, from far away. It became so strong and mighty that the earth, the whole earth, began to quake and shake. It sounded like the blasting of a deep bass trumpet. I had never heard this sort and depth of bass sound before now. The whole air vibrated. Frightened, he said, I hold myself up in the dunes of the embankment, face down, and waited to see what would come out of this natural spectacle. When the booming sound refused to stop and even became stronger, I saw myself begin to pray in the vision and to speak with God. Then I heard a voice saying, "My child, fear not. That is my call, a signal from the other world. I'm calling my people out from all peoples. I am shaking the earth and the sea. The sinners and godless will pass away for fear and the fearful expectation of the things which are to come. Understand, my child, that all these have been initiated by the financial crises. But that was just the beginning of ruin. The foundation of today's society will be so shaken that the people will lose all that they have acquired and saved up until now. Every infrastructure and welfare will collapse with time, and life will be very difficult for very many people. The general security will get out of control, and there will be a proliferation of crime such that life on earth will be massively threatened. But you, who fear my name, will I save from ruin. I am holding my arm of protection over you." Well, the prophecy goes on by John Matutis, this German Christian. Basically, the prophecy tells Christians, prepare yourself, be ready, do not be fearful, because these things are of me. That's the prophecy. Now, remember, he talked about the great financial crisis, destruction to come upon the earth. Now, this prophecy was in 2008. In fact, I have some evidence that, in fact, it was given in 2008. Now, that was before or right during the beginning of the great financial crises that we've experienced from around 2008 to 2012 this year. So you wonder about this. The Bible does talk about the sound of a great trumpet as the last days begin to take place. And the Christians will be lifted up from this earth at the sound of a great trumpet at the end of time, Bible prophecy reveals. So I'm not saying, I have not heard a message from God to me personally, my friends, that say these strange, horrible, and frightening sounds being heard around the world today are part of this prophecy. But we do know that strange things are going to be happening in the last days. And men's hearts will fail them because of the fear. They'll even try to hide in the caves of the mountains. And so, for what it's worth, Dr. Graham asked me, she said, what do you make of all this? Well, that's what I make of it. And dear Dr. Graham, thank you for sending me that prophecy that I had not seen before. Well, you know, many times we've warned of the coming water shortages, and many of them will be contrived and made up by the elite of this world so they can start charging you more and more and more for the water that we drink and that we use. Well, our great Secretary of State, oh, what a fantastic woman she is, Hillary the Rod Man Clinton, is now warning of water wars and terror attacks caused by water. She said this is March 24th. The Secretary of State, Ms. Clinton, warned what she said was the risk of terrorism, political instability, and conflict over competition for scarce water supplies worldwide over the next few decades. Wow. She said she had requested and received a report by the National Intelligence Council. That's sort of all of our United States intelligence agents, from the CIA to the National Security Agency and the Defense Intelligence Agency, all working together. She said the intelligence community's findings are sobering. There will be many potential water problems between now and the year 2040. Then she says, North Africa, the Middle East, and South Asia will face major challenges coping with water programs, particularly as a result of population growth and increased economic demand. Okay, water wars, we're being warned over and over. And again, the Bible talks about great water shortages in the last days. The sea will be turned into blood. Wow. Maybe that's just talking about the red color. Well, where will that come from? How will that occur? Well, I'll tell you somebody that's, well, anyway, I won't say what I was going to say, but John Corzine, former governor, Democrat Party governor of the state of New Jersey. Turns out, you know, he went to Congress and he was head of MF Global, a Wall Street firm, sort of like a bank, that went bankrupt this year. Now, Mr. Corzine, some pronounce it Corzine, he's a Jew and a crook. And he said he's not at fault for the MF Global going bankrupt. Now, it lost billions of dollars. And now there are thousands of Americans who have lost all their savings, all their money, in this newest scandal. And John Corzine said he did not order any amount of money to be transferred to anybody. In other words, I didn't at the last moment before we declared bankruptcy, John Corzine said, I did not take out money, put it in a special secret account in some other institution. Turns out he lied. Now emails have come forth and been found, discovered, where we find that John Corzine, in fact, ordered that $200 million of customer funds be moved to another bank just before the bankruptcy. But he sat during the congressional hearings and told the senators and the representatives that all the money was lost and he was so sorry. He just didn't know how it all happened. He said, I guess I wasn't supervising close enough. Yeah, sure. By the way, John Corzine was not only had been governor previously of the state of New Jersey, but he had been the CEO, the head man at Goldman Sachs, one of the most powerful banks in the world. Now we know that $200 million of customer funds were moved to another bank. In fact, they were sent over to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank right before the bankruptcy. He saved, in other words, $200 million, but the customer still hadn't got that money. It's missing. Well, you get the point. They stole the money. Seeing their MF Global Corporation was going to fail, they took $200 million out that was still there and put it in some secret accounts. Folks, these are criminals. They deserve to go to prison. But John Corzine, of course, gave millions of dollars in campaign contributions to Barack Obama. So maybe they'll just slap his little wrist, make him eat a bowl of asparagus or something for punishment. Yeah. Anyway, congressional investigators have found that $200 million was moved, that John Corzine gave the order, but there's still $1.6 billion in missing funds. 38,000 ranchers and farmers across America lost their money. 38,000 ranchers and farmers lost their money. It never quits, does it? And these people never really get punished for their crimes. Crime does pay if you're a Wall Streeter, a Goldman Sachs man, or an Obama contributor, evidently. Well, we'll be right back. We're going to go for a break now. And when we come back, well, I'm going to quote James Madison. You know him. We're going to look at the predators in the skies. What is happening to our American dollar? It's being just decimated. Look at a few atrocities and outrages. I think it'll be interesting. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Well, you know, I've been researching recently food, and America's food supplies. I wrote the important book, Days of Hunger, Days of Chaos, some time ago. And dear friends, I'm convinced we're going to go into a great period of food shortages and hunger around the world. Of course, today we visit our grocery stores and the shelves are packed with all varieties and options in food. It's almost like a, you know, just a miracle. Now I know there's additives and chemicals in a lot of foods and dangers, but I'm telling you, there's actually going to be a shortage of any kind of food. I don't know when this is going to occur, but I know it's going to happen. And I want to say something else. Right now, you look at the date on your calendars. We're now moving into April of 2012. And I want to tell you about something that's fixing to happen. We're going to see a great run-up in food prices over the next 90 to 120 days. That's my prediction. Not a prophecy, but it is a prediction. And I'm just positive this will happen. I've studied the world crops right now, the agricultural and the futures market, and I can see where things are going. You know, they've driven up the price of our oil and gas. They've driven the price of many other commodities, metals and so forth. The food is going to be a big, big thing. And already I've read reports that companies like Kellogg's and General Mills and Del Monte and the other big food makers are saying that their costs are going up staggeringly. I think it was Kellogg's that said their costs over the last 3 months have gone up 30%. That's their wholesale. That's what they're buying for grains and for foodstuffs that they turn into cereals and other edible products we buy from our food stores. I believe everything. I think fresh produce, meats, are going to go up in price. But your wages are not going to go up accordingly. So we're all being destroyed through inflation. Now there's inflation galloping everywhere, and that's because our dollar is being destroyed. It is often said that if you really want to destroy a nation, it's more difficult to use arms, military forces, helicopters, tanks, aircraft, missiles. An easier way would be to wage economic war and destroy their currency. And that's what's happening in America. And as our dollar continues to fall down, 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 which is a planned event of the Obama administration as it was of the Bush administration. Both of these cruds, and that's what they are, Bush and Obama are and were tools of the Wall Street elite. And when I say Wall Street, I include those that are part of what is called in Great Britain, the City in London, which is sort of our equivalent of Wall Street. And they work together with brokers and banks from around the world. But United States and its Zionist billionaires, Zionist Israel billionaires, are at the very root of this problem. And they drive up everything. They crash the dollar, and it's on a continuing downspin while the prices of everything go up. And then today, folks, they lie about how many people are out of work. You know it's more than 8.3%. It's probably 20 or 25%. They lie about prices. You know, back during the Bill Clinton era, they decided it was too embarrassing that the consumer price index, which tells you, you know, cost of living, kept going up, up, up. So they said, how can we solve this? People are getting angry at us. They said, well, I'll tell you what we do. We just take out things like food and gasoline. We just take them out. Don't even include them. And you know what? When they did that, price of living didn't go up so fast. I mean, it didn't. If a loaf of bread doubled in price in 3 years, or gasoline doubled in price like it has over the last 3 years, it didn't show up in the consumer price index. And our president and our congressman could come forth on TV and say, well, isn't this remarkable? We have no inflation in America. What a bunch of unmitigated liars. Now, that was during the Clinton era. But it hasn't been corrected, neither by George W. Bush or Baracky Obama, or Barky as some call him, or just Barry Sotoro, which is his, obviously is his real name. By the way, Sheriff Joe Arpaio down in Arizona, he's the guy that recently released a report that said the birth certificate of Barack Obama was absolutely a fake, which is a violation of the criminal act. Sheriff Arpaio said he has tons more fraudulent material that he's going to come out with in months to come. Good for him. But I would say, Sheriff Arpaio, make sure you wear the newest and most effective bulletproof vest made out of Kevlar or whatever material that's the most sturdy today and durable. Your life is in jeopardy. Oh, they'll blame it on some crazy inmate or some crazy former convict. Sheriff Arpaio, listen to me. And I'm sure you're a very brilliant man. Protect yourself. They want you dead. Protect yourself. Now, what am I getting at? You know, we're offering what is called a survival seed vault. It's just $38. And it includes all of these, well, 20 jumbo-sized seed packets. And these are the heirloom seeds. That means they're not the genetically modified, only used for one time that Monsanto Chemical and the others have made up by, you know, using, you know, genetic engineering and changing the codes of creation. And these are about the only kind of seeds the farmers can buy, the genetically modified ones. But the ones that God gave the world from the time of creation, we call heirloom seeds. And we want to sell these to you, friends. We were able to find the very lowest price for this survival seed vault. You'll get it in an easy lock, resealable container or vault, as it's called, which is just like a can, but you can open it up and it's impervious to the weather, with 20 jumbo sized seed packets. And in there, the seeds include tomatoes and beans and bell pepper and lettuce, cucumber, peas, radish, broccoli, corn, cantaloupe, squash, watermelon, spinach, onions, carrots, zucchini, cauliflower, beets, cabbage. There you go. Lifetime of eating. Good, healthy. And guess what? These seeds, when you create, or God creates really through nature, a watermelon from these watermelon seeds, it'll have seeds in it that you can take and use again. But the watermelons you buy in the store today, those seeds won't produce anything. When I was a young boy, you know, we would buy a watermelon and eat it, or we would go get one from our cousins who were farmers, lived near us. And then we would take the seeds and we would go in our backyard just for fun. I would go back there and plant the seeds, and pretty soon you'd have watermelons. Can't do that now. They won't grow. I'm sure a lot of parents have told their kids, go plant these seeds and watch them grow. They don't grow. But I'll tell you what, our seeds will grow. They're heirloom seeds. Now, you can order this survival seed vault for just $38. Now, please add $10 shipping and handling. They won't let us send it book or library rate. We have to send it the first class route. Okay, well, we'll do it. So it's a total of $48, $38 plus $10 shipping and handling. Total of $48. Now, this is pretty much the same one. I think there's one company out there, and they're charging like $199 for a seed vault, and you get 22 seed packets. Well, you get just two less, 20 from ours, and it's just $38. For that, you can buy, what, six or seven for the same price. Jerry, I saw one that was selling this survival seed vault for $300. Well, I'm not going to criticize those folks. I don't know what their costs are, but I know this much. We go out and we bargain shop, and we found the best price. It's $38 and $10 shipping handling. We have the best price. I promise you. Let me know if we don't. And then I'll make sure in the future that we do. But right now, I don't know of anyone that can give you the price. Folks, if you ever thought of starting a garden, now's the time. heirloom seeds offered by Power of Prophecy. We stand by them. And now I'll have to say, if your watermelon seeds don't put forth good watermelons, I'm not going to transport a watermelon to you. I'm sorry. I just can't. They're too heavy and I can't fly there, you know, on Southwest Airlines and hand it to you. But somehow we'll make it right one way or another to you. But I think you're going to be very happy with these heirloom seeds because we've got the right source for them and such. So order them a total of $48, including shipping and handling. Call us toll free to order. Just ask for the Seed Vault, Survival Seed Vault. Folks, if someday they close the doors of the food stores, it would be a good idea to have some seeds, even to keep a little garden growing. And you can regenerate with these kinds of seeds, okay? Our address, if you'd like to order this by mail, is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Of course, on our website, Jerry, I think it's on our homepage. Yeah, right on our homepage, powerofprophecy.com. Right now, there's a book you can get. We have a book on how to garden in small spaces. A lot of folks live in the city and such. They say, well, how can I do it? This is a book on square foot gardening. It's an interesting book. It's got color pictures in it. And it's Wanda got a copy of it. And she loved it. She said, Tex, you've got to tell the folks about this book. Okay, I will. And we also have on our website information on the homepage about two survival books we're offering. One is like the complete guidebook for survival, you know, preparedness and survival handbook. And we have another one that's really by a guy who used to be in the special forces from, I think, Switzerland or something. But it has pictures of that book, the SAS survival guide. We'll have pictures of all the plants, you know, the edible plants. You know, you're out in the wild somewhere, you're starving. It'll tell you the plants you can eat and the ones that are poisonous. You know, color pictures of them. That's the SAS survival. Jerry, I guess they can order those now. I don't know what the price is, but they can phone and ask for the SAS survival book or what's the other one called? Disaster Preparedness Survival Guide. I don't know. When you call up to our ministry, 1-800-234-9673, it'll be there for you. Our folks will be able to tell you all about it. Now, when you receive your first April newsletter, if you get it in the mail from us, it'll be shown there in a display ad. I hope I'm helping folks out because we need to be ready for hard times, folks. We do. Okay. Let's return, Jerry, to our regular program. Folks, we're talking about some secrets today. Covered a few secrets right there just during the commercial break time. Remember I told you about the debauching or the killing of the American currency? Well, one of the supposed greatest economists of all time, I don't think he was. In fact, I understand from reading that he was a homosexual from over in Great Britain. His name, John Maynard Keynes. Well, Alan Greenspan said he was a great economist. I understand that even Richard Nixon did. Ben Bernanke said he respects the works of John Maynard Keynes, or Keynes, from Great Britain. But again, as I said, I don't trust anybody who's a homosexual, to be honest with you, because I think they have perverted, diseased minds. But this one thing he said, you know, even a clock is right at least, what, once a day? He gives the right time. Twice, I'm sorry, Jerry. Jerry corrected me. Yeah, twice a day it's right. See, we've got smart employees here. They keep me straight, don't they? He puts up two fingers, you know. Okay. Am I supposed to do like Rick Perry? Oops. Okay, I don't know. But listen to what John Maynard Keynes said. He said, the best way to destroy the capitalist system is to debauch the currency. There is no subtler, no surer means of overturning the existing basis of society than to debauch the currency. And by a continuing process of inflation, governments can confiscate, secretly and unobserved, an important part of the wealth of their citizens. Wow. He says the process engages all the hidden forces of economic law on the side of destruction and does it in a manner which not one man in a million is able to diagnose. You get that, folks? When they debauch the currency, they're destroying our nation. And they are. By the way, there's no doubt that President Obama and our congressional leaders are destroying the nation with these Patriot Acts and this newest one, the National Defense Authorization Act. I want to read you another quote from James Madison, one of our nation's greatest men, a founder, and helped to write the Constitution and its Bill of Rights. Listen to what he said and see if you don't agree with him. He says, the preservation of a free government requires not merely that the meets and bounds which separate each department of power be invariably maintained, but more especially that neither of them be allowed to overlap the great barrier which defends the rights of the people. James Madison, now one of our nation's founders, went on to say, the rulers who are guilty of such encroachment, that is on the rights of the people, exceed the commission from which they derive their authority and are tyrants. The people who submit to it are governed by laws made neither by themselves nor by an authority derived from them and are slaves. Folks, do you get that? If our leaders exceed their authority, and certainly for the last quarter of a century, we've had leaders, whether it's the senior Bush, Junior Bush, Bill Clinton, all the way back, 100 years now, we have allowed our leaders to exceed their given authority. That is the constitutional authority. And what does James Madison warn us about that? He says these men, these rulers who are guilty of this, are tyrants. But we who allow it, well, we're slaves. And maybe some would say we deserve to be slaves. Well, here's something that I'm a little bit afraid of, and I think people should be scared about it. And I don't mean fearful of it exactly, but I think in terms of what it's going to do to our nation. Remember I warned you that these drones, these Predator and other drones in the sky, they're pilotless aircraft. They can be as small as a bumblebee or as big as a regular, you know, a Piker Cub or other aircraft. They can be on surveillance spying missions, or they can have weapons, you know, accurate machine guns and so forth. They can even have smart missiles or bombs implanted on them. And they can be set forth to kill you through GPS instruments. They can go to your backyard where you're barbecuing a steak or a hamburger and kill you. Blow you up right there, accurately. They can inject, a bumblebee that looks like a bumblebee, but it's not a bumblebee, it's a Predator drone flying machine, can come land on the back of your neck and inject you with poison, with nanotechnology poisons. You say, Tex, that's crazy. Well, folks, you know, I began studying these things many years ago when I was in the U.S. Air Force. And I studied them very carefully. It was my duty, my job, to teach the principles of World War III. I kept up with all the new weapon systems. And at one time, although, you know, it's been so many years now, but I still keep up a lot, not as much as I used to. But I was able to... I gave briefings and speeches on the characteristics of weapon systems, smart aircraft and missiles and so forth. And I knew this was coming. And here it is now. These drones. Somebody recently sent me a newspaper clipping from Mesa County, Colorado, which talked about how local sheriff's department authorities were practicing, rehearsing, and they were evidently planning to buy or be given by the federal government through grants these machines called Dragonflyer X6 drones. Now, I'd like you to think of the name of it. Dragonflyer is the name of these, X6 drones. And there's a picture in the newspaper there of one of these satanic-looking instruments or machines. Said the drone measures about 36 inches from the rotor tip to the rotor tip. It weighs only 2 pounds. It is useful in search and rescue missions to help find suspects and to identify hot spots after a major fire. Now, I'm not saying these cannot have good uses, folks. Okay? And we could use them if the government was even interested in discovering illegal aliens coming across the border. And then we could send forth our border patrol in to pick them up. And we could deport them. But you know, they don't care about those things. They're allowing millions of illegal aliens to come across the border. Now, these Dragonflyer X6 drones are equipped with a video camera, of course. But they could be equipped with weapons to kill suspects. And according to the National Defense Authorization Act, President Obama now has the authority to murder people, to assassinate U.S. citizens, either here in the United States or abroad, with drones or by any other means. You know, one of the things that prevents law enforcement from just going out murdering people, not that some don't right now today, but generally, most of them do have a conscience. And, you know, you can't just go to a sheriff's deputy or a policeman or an FBI agent and say, hey, I want you to go out and assassinate Tex Morris. No way. They'll say, not on your life, buddy. I'm not going to go assassinate Tex Morris. So what do? Well, you give that dirty little task to a drone. It doesn't have human intelligence, human conscience. I know there's a controller that programs it, that monitors, that sends it on its way. But you could have one controller on a remote screen and computer terminal hundreds of miles away that never sees you, never sees the results of the murder when he sends forth the drone to find you out and to kill you. And that person can be a psychopath chosen for that mission, and he can operate hundreds of drones. And besides that, if you sent a human agent out to assassinate, to murder somebody, he could be killed himself. I mean, folks, let me just tell you something. If somebody violates my property, breaks into my home, I'm telling you, when I shoot, I want to put it between their eyes or maybe in another part that's maybe even more vital to them, if you know what I'm telling you. They better watch out if they're going to come into my house like that. Now, if a policeman has a warrant and does everything legally and so forth, hey, I'll go willingly. All they have to do is phone me on the phone and say, you know, we got a warrant for your arrest, Tex, down here at such and such police station. Would you please come in? I'll go in voluntarily. I'll call up my attorney. We'll go down. They don't have to come and arrest me. They don't have to break down my doors with battering rams, guns blazing, killing my dog, shooting my wife or whatever. Just say, Tex, we got a warrant for your arrest. And I'll say, well, what judge gave it? What's the offense for? Okay, well, my lawyer and I'll be down. We'll be down at a certain amount, you know, whatever time. I'll show up down at the police station. If it's all done legally. But see, this way, they don't have to worry about being shot. They break into your property because they're overhead. You're getting into your car. You're driving down the road. A predator aircraft attacks you with a missile and blows up your vehicle. And the guy who did it is sitting 20 miles away in some underground little security pen with his computers and everything. How convenient. Folks, I'm telling you, in another decade, I predict there will be hundreds of thousands of drones operating throughout the United States. Nowhere to escape. Folks, they didn't even have these in 1984, the book by George Orwell, but they got them now. Well, George W. Bush, when he was president, appointed a man named Ken Mehlman, M-E-H-L-M-A-N, to be the chairman or chairperson of the Republican Party, National, you know, Committee, the RNC, they call it, Republican National Committee. Well, I knew Mr. Mehlman at the time. I didn't know him personally, but I had read extensively of him. And I knew that the guy was a, well, can I put it bluntly to you, dear friends? He was a filthy two-bit queer. That's what I call him. A queer. Homosexual. I think one congressman used to call him fags. I know that's not nice. You shouldn't call anybody a fag, even if they really are a fag. Okay, well, Ken Mehlman has now admitted it. Well, folks, I told you about it years ago. I said, can you imagine George W. Bush, who, by the way, was bisexual and is bisexual? That was a shocker. I don't think anybody believed it, but it's true. He appointed as head of the RNC another queer just like himself. Well, isn't that just like a homosexual would do? Well, all the press kept it a secret. I blared it all over the world on my website, my radio programs, my newsletter, that the head of the Republican Party was homosexual. Well, now, belatedly, Mr. Mehlman has come out of the closet. Yes, I have always been a homosexual, and now he's apologizing to the people he hurt by being a Republican. He says, as a member of the Republican Party and working in various campaigns of congressmen and senators, I had to support the amendment to ban gay marriages. Now I regret that. I am 100% for gay marriages, and I want to apologize to the gays of America for not supporting them. He says, I cannot change the fact that I was head of the Republican Party and that I went along with the Republicans in opposing gay marriage. I genuinely regret it. It was very hard on me personally. It was hard on him. Hey, the guy wanted to be a big shot politician, and so he didn't speak out for his homo friends. And see, George W. Bush appointed this guy. He knew what this guy was. Everybody in Washington did. Did you know that Laura Bush, she's been campaigning now in support of same-sex marriage? Former Bush Solicitor General Ted Olson is now working to overturn California's gay marriage ban. Dick Cheney is lobbying for gay marriage. Dick Cheney. Makes you wonder about his sexual orientations. After all, Dick Cheney's wife, Liz Cheney, wrote a lesbian novel. Folks, the Republican establishment is thick with homosexuality. In fact, I'm going to say something right now. I believe at least 60% of all the senators and representatives in the House and Senate are gays, either lesbians or just a regular old male homosexual. 60%. I wonder what they're doing to those poor Senate pages these days. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. It'd be great to be with you in this volume of secrets. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week and discover the power of prophecy.